Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to read this afternoon in the Gospel by Matthew and chapter 8. Now in the previous chapters we've had what would be commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, or a sermon, the Beatitudes, and that the Lord's teaching to his disciples. And now we're going to find a number of miracles that he is going to perform. So chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down, when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his precious word. When we come to the gospel records, we discover that physical disease is very often used as a kind of figure for a deeper problem that mankind has, and that is the problem of sin. And we've read about two particular diseases in our verses. We've read about the disease of leprosy, which was an incurable disease as far as the men and women of that time was concerned. There was no cure to leprosy. There was no drugs you could take, no medicine you could take that would heal you. It really was a sentence of death upon you. And so we have leprosy. And when leprosy was detected, you didn't go to the doctor, you had to go to the priest. Not that the priest could heal you, but what the priest would do, he would identify that what you might suspect to be leprosy was leprosy, and you would be declared unclean. So the key idea that is associated with leprosy is that of uncleanness. And it is a picture of the fact that sin defiles us. It makes us unclean as far as God is concerned. God is pure, God is holy, God is sinless. That's what God is. And leprosy pictures the defilement that sin causes. And so before God, we are unclean. We're defiled by our sinfulness, our sinful thoughts, our sinful actions, our sinful ways. Now, in the second miracle in the passage, when we read about the intervention of the centurion, he was requesting the Lord Jesus about his servant, his young man, as it was, who was sick, and he had the palsy. Now, the palsy was really a form of paralysis. You couldn't move. You didn't have power in your limbs. You were paralysed. You may remember another miracle the Lord Jesus performed when a man was brought in before the Lord Jesus and his friends had to bring him on a bed because he was paralysed. He couldn't walk for himself. And of course, the Lord Jesus not only forgave his sins, but he healed him of his paralysis and he was able to get up and carry his bed and go to his house. So this pictures sin in a different way. It robs us of our power. We become weak. We become ineffective. We don't have power to overcome it. You might be able to identify in your life sins or habits that you have, and you'd like to be able to overcome them, but you have no strength. You find yourself repeatedly failing. You see, that's the nature of sin. It robs us of our power. And so we read in Romans chapter 5 these wonderful words: when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the condition of these two individuals, though they were physical conditions, they bring before us in a very remarkable way the characteristics that we have as those who are sinners before God. We're defiled, we need to be cleansed, we need to be made pure in the sight of God, and we need to be given strength. We need to be empowered. And it's only the Lord Jesus, and it's only the Lord Jesus can do that. And that's the point of this passage. In both these situations, the individuals brought the matter to the Lord Jesus. And it is Christ who can solve these problems. He is able to deal with the problem of the defilement of sin. He's able to cleanse us. John wrote in his first letter, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." And because of the death of Christ, because of the blood that he shed, he can cleanse us from our sins. And we can know our sins forgiven. And we can be made fit for the presence of a God who is light, who is holy, who is righteous. What a tremendous message. And that's available to each of us. No matter how we have lived in the past, we can have the defilement, you know, our sins removed, and we can be cleansed from all our sins. And then just as the young man with the paralysis, we can be given strength. That strength is not our natural strength. It's the strength given to us by the Holy Spirit. And he enables us to live a life that is for the pleasure of God. So we want to think, first of all, of this leper. Now, the interesting thing, first of all, is the Bible says, the text says, behold, look, this is something startling. You see, a leper was an outcast. You wouldn't find a leper in a crowd. People would keep away from a leper. They were the untouchables of their day. And our attention is drawn to this. Behold, a leper. There came a leper. Now, he knew he was a leper. There was no question in this man's mind. He wasn't deceived as to his condition. He knew exactly what he was. And that's a first step to coming to enjoy God's salvation. We need to come to understand what we are before God. The Bible speaks about that as part of the idea of repentance. We've got to change our minds about ourselves. We can't say to ourselves, well, I'm okay as I am. I'm fit for heaven. We've got to see ourselves as the Word of God presents us, as those who've fallen short, of those that have failed in the sight of God, but nevertheless, God cares for us and provides for us. And here is a man who knew he was a leper. There was no doubt about it, no question about it. And he came to the Lord Jesus. Now, the description that is given here is amazing, because what is clear from the man's words is that here is a leper, here is a man who has come to trust Christ. Now that's evidence from what he says to Christ. And interestingly, the Spirit of God in Matthew chapter 8 describes his words as worship. Who would have thought? A leper worshipping the Lord Jesus. But you see, the Spirit of God knew his heart. The Spirit of God knew the reality of what the man was saying. It came from the heart. And it is expressed, and it is an expression of his confidence in the Lord Jesus, of his trust in the Lord Jesus. You see, worship is not some kind of ritual. It's not some kind of formal kind of ritual that might take place in a church or a cathedral or something like that. It is something that comes from the heart to God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And the Spirit of God who inspired these words knew the heart of this man, that there was a reality in what he said, and he expressed his confidence in the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to think about what he said. Why should these words be classed as worship? Well, the first thing is that he recognized who the Lord Jesus really was. He says, Lord. You wouldn't say that to anybody. Lord, certainly in the Bible, is a divine title. He recognized that this Jesus of Nazareth was no mere man. He was Emmanuel, God with us, and he says, Lord. And so here is a man who has realized that if he came to the Lord Jesus, he wasn't coming to simply a good teacher or an inspirational figure. He was all that, but he was far more. He says he's the Lord. And that's important. Because he recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus. He recognized his absolute deity. And if you're going to come to know God's salvation, we have got to come to the same. And we have to confess Jesus as Lord. We've got to own that he is all, he has all authority. That's how this gospel ends. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And here is a man who confesses Jesus as Lord. That's what Paul says about salvation when he writes in the Epistle to the Romans. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. He says, Lord. And the Spirit of God says that was an act of worship. That was an expression of worship. It was an appreciation of who the Lord Jesus really is. Do you see, that's what worship is. It's the heart's appreciation of who God is and what God is. Not so much what God does, though that is glorious, but who he is. And he says, Lord. He was addressing the Lord. The second thing he says is, if thou wilt. He acknowledged that the Lord Jesus was sovereign. You see, he doesn't come with a demand. He comes with an appeal. He comes with a request. You see, the arrogance of men's hearts today, and it has been so down the centuries, is to stand on their dignity and to demand of God. And you hear men and women from time to time saying, when we meet God, we're going to ask questions of God. They'll do no such thing. When men meet God, they'll be silent. And they'll be condemned in his presence. But here is a man says, if thou wilt. If you're willing. If you're willing. And he puts himself, as it were, into the hands of the will of Christ. He says, if you're willing, I know that you're able, but if you're willing. And then he says, thou canst. And he's appreciating the power of Christ. Thou canst make me clean. What an expression of confidence. What an expression of faith. What an expression of worship. He appreciates who the Lord Jesus is. He's understood that the Lord Jesus is sovereign. It's his will that matters. He appreciates his power, his ability. He can make me clean. Now, there was no one else in Israel that leper could go to and say that about. And dear soul, this afternoon, if you come to Christ and simply say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, the Lord will say exactly the same to you as he said to this leprous man in Matthew chapter 8. And the Spirit of God notes this and marks this as an act of worship. He believed that he was speaking to the Lord. He believed that the Lord was able. He believed that the Lord was able to make him clean. Now, why is the Lord Jesus able to make us clean? Well, we've cited the words of Hebrews, of 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My dear friend, there is a message to preach to you this afternoon because of the cross. Because the Lord Jesus, the sinless Saviour, the one who was without sin, the one who is pure, that's how John writes in 1 John chapter 3, he is pure. He is pure. He is righteous. And the one who is pure, he endured the judgment of God that we might be purified, that we might be cleansed from our sins. And here, this leper, as it were, has grasped that the Lord Jesus alone had the ability, the power to make him clean. And the question is this, did he have the will to do it though? You might this afternoon think, well, the Lord, I recognize that the Lord Jesus is able to save me. After all, we've cited that verse from Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save completely all that come unto God by him. But will he save me? Will he save me? Is he willing to save me? I listen to the response of the Lord Jesus in verse number 3. We'll come to the touching in a moment, but he says, I will. I am willing. I am willing. Be thou clean. And the scripture says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So here we find a man, and he's come to understand, we don't know how, that Jesus of Nazareth is no less a person than the Lord of all. God manifest in flesh. He bows to his sovereignty, if thou wilt. He acknowledges his power, thou canst. He makes his appeal, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord Jesus says, I will. I will. I want to assure you this afternoon, dear friend, that no matter how you have lived, if you come in the same spirit as the leper in Matthew 8, the Lord Jesus will make you clean. He puts it like this in John chapter 6. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He was a leper that came to him. Came to him because he recognised that the Lord Jesus was able to save him. And the appeal goes out, come unto me. How will you respond? The Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. You see, he didn't need to do that. He could simply say, be clean. And the man was cleansed. But you see, the Lord Jesus demonstrated his sympathy. And he demonstrated that he was willing to come close to this individual. No one else would touch him. The fact the Lord Jesus could touch him and remain undefiled is simply a demonstration of his holiness and impeccability. But you see, salvation involves this. It involves a personal contact with the Son of God. Not a physical contact, but a spiritual contact between your soul and God. And he puts forth his hand and touched him. Dear friend, how wonderful it is that we have a Saviour like this, A saviour who understood how this man felt and knew his background and knew his needs and was able to say to him, "Be thou clean," and pronounced him clean from his leprosy. And the commentary of the scripture is this: immediately his leprosy was cleansed. His leprosy was cleansed. Let me transfer that into our situation. We need our sins cleansed, my sins, your sins cleansed. And the Lord Jesus can do that. What a wonderful miracle this was, performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to come like the leper came and ask to be cleansed, then the same miracle would take place and you would be cleansed from your sins and made fit for heaven. But then in verse number 4, and we'll not maybe get much opportunity to speak about the centurion this afternoon, but in verse number 4 we discover that the Lord Jesus has, let me call it a service for this man to perform. He wants this man to be a testimony. You see, if you read the Old Testament, if you read back into the book of Leviticus, you'll discover all the criteria that had to be met for what would happen if a leper was cleansed. If a man who was a leper was healed of his leprosy, there were various things that he had to do. He had to bring various offerings of animals to God and so on. And that's what the Lord Jesus is asking him to do. But you see, the one thing the law couldn't do, the law couldn't heal a man. The law of God describes how to recognize a leper. The law of God told Israel what to do if a leper was healed. But the law of God never healed a leper. Never. And you see, what the testimony was this: that these priests in Jerusalem had never seen a leper cleansed. They had never encountered a situation where a man brought the offerings of the book of Leviticus 14 and brought those offerings to Jerusalem. They'd never encountered that before. And you see, the testimony that was going to be presented was this: that the Messiah was here. The Son of God was here. And this dear man, maybe we don't know anything about his background, and nobody as far as Israel was concerned, was going to have the privilege of being a testimony to the very religious leaders of his day. A cleansed leper. And God gave this man this wonderful service to perform. Now just a brief word about the centurion. And the great thing about the centurion is there are two individuals in Matthew's gospel who are said to have great faith. And the interesting thing about it is they weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. They were of the nations. Here is a centurion. And the centurion makes his appeal, and the Lord Jesus says, "I'll come and I'll heal your servant." And the centurion says, "Look, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I'm not worthy of that. But just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." And what the man goes on to describe is the fact that he had learned that power is exercised by speaking. Authority is exercised by speaking. And that the Lord Jesus, he didn't need to come and lay his hand on the young man for him to be healed. All he needed to do was to speak. Speaking is the way in which God exercises his power and displays his might. That's how it was in Genesis 1. God said, and it was. The psalmist says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast." Here's a centurion who's grasped that. Just speak the word. "My servant shall be healed." The Lord Jesus says that was great faith. You say, what is great faith? Great faith is to depend upon the spoken word of God. Here is a man that realized that all that required to happen was for the Lord to speak, and it would be done. So powerful is the Lord Jesus that all he needed to do was speak, and this man was healed. I wonder whether you're prepared to put your trust in what God says. the spoken word of God. Here was a man that did just that. He believed that when the Lord Jesus spoke, that would be enough. His servant would be healed, and so it was. And the Lord Jesus says, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Dear friend, the way to blessing, the way to salvation, is simply to trust what God says. God says, believe in my Son. Believe that my Son's death at Calvary is enough. Just believe it. It says of Abraham, we were speaking about him earlier, in chapter 15 of Genesis, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When that verse is cited in the New Testament, it's put like this: Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is to say, Abraham put his trust in God. He accepted what God said and rested upon it, and he was reckoned to be a righteous man. He was justified before God. Dear soul, we can be the same. You can be the same. All of us can be the same. But we need to come like the leper, and we need to put our confidence, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.